I belong to the one that could say, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Can I trust him for that little bump in the road? Can I trust him for that difficulty that he has allowed to come into my life? This is what Romans 5 is bringing us to. He says, and hope maketh not ashamed. And so I can stand in front of this world and those that have no regard for the Son of God, for Jesus and his shed blood. I'm not ashamed. I know who I belong to. I know whom I have believed. I'm on my way to the glory, and he is the one that's going to see me there. We often say from the book of Hebrews, he's an all-the-way-home Savior. This is what the Roman here, Emil, I think of your card that you've got. A Roman can go anywhere. Here's one that once was guilty before God, who now has peace. Here's one that once had sinned and come short of the glory of God. He now is justified, and he knows it. And he's able to go out into this world as representing the one that has done this great work for him.
That leads us into really to verse 6, doesn't it? Because verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength. So if you read all those verses connected to each other, okay, because the verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us for when we were yet. So when we're talking about this tribulation, it's in comparison to the fact that there was a time when we were enemies, and Christ died for us. So when we were enemies and his love brought him to a point of death to die for us, what about that tribulation? That's where he is the potter and we are the clay, and he is just molding and making us into that which he would have us to be.
Now, I'm going to quiz you guys to see if you guys are paying attention, because this is one of the questions earlier. Which book of the Bible did Paul preach in? Does anyone remember that? Acts. Okay. So where did he teach in? Book of Romans, yeah. And one of the interesting methods that he uses of teaching, as most of your teachers have, is comparison contrast. And this is something that he also carries out in the book of Hebrews, where he shows the superiority of Christ to the prophets, to the angels, and to many other things. And I think it was first shown here, the contrast of two big terms, and there are many terms which we are introduced to in this epistle: reconciliation, justification, and there's a very good book put out by F.B. Hull called Salvation. There are excerpts which Brother Emil has put in Toward the Mark, and I really suggest it for many new believers just beginning to study the Word, to understand the terminology and the different things which are not necessarily contradictions. But as we look through Scripture, we see when we rightly divide the Word of truth that they work together and they hit different areas of that. One of the things that we see in chapter 5 is the contrast between condemnation and justification. We see this in two people. The two people that we see this in are the first Adam and the second Adam. I notice as I go through this outline right here that we reach a certain area where we have questions number 9A and B. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but just to consider for when the time comes then that we will target the failures of the first man and how great the superiority of Christ has shown himself through this.
We were just talking about tribulation and how he provides for us. And in verse 5 it says he has given us the Holy Spirit. And it's important to note that he has not really mentioned the Holy Spirit before this point, except for once. But this, for the first time here, has mentioned the Holy Spirit working for us and in us. And it's important to note that he mentions it now after we have been justified and have peace with God, an everlasting peace.
My comments are really related to earlier in that, verse 3 and 4. And I'm reading from the Derby, and Derby says this in verse 3, and not only that, but we also boast in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works, and uses the word endurance. An endurance experience and experience hope. And what comes to my mind when I read that? How many of us here in this room have had, are being coached for soccer, for instance? How many of us are in soccer teams? Okay. How many of us are in basketball teams? How many of us are on track teams? I know people are, okay? What does a coach do to us in training? We often have training sessions which are very painful sometimes. They're drills that we actually sometimes don't like. But what's the point of all those drills? Preparation for competition and obviously for winning. At the end of the day, if we are successful, we then look back at what that coach was doing to us. It may have been painful at the time. It may have been difficult at the time. But in reality, the coach had a plan. He had a plan for all those drills that we were going through. And when I read this morning, it really came home to me that as a Christian, that's what God has. Their plans, the things that we go through, the tribulations are designed by Him to develop endurance and so on. These things are designed and planned by Him to make us stronger and ultimately for us to go on to get hope and so on. So it's important for us that as we go through it, and all of us go through these times, as we go through it, realize that our God, as it were, He has a plan for all that we're going through.
I think it's good to follow that up. And I see you're picking up. I'll give you a shot here. But I think it's important to see, and not only the athlete, but the soldier. Many of us are keenly aware of what is going on today in Iraq. And of all of the soldiers, and perhaps most in this room, watched on the television set as these forces moved toward the city of Baghdad. I'm going to tell you it would have been a pitiful thing if, in fact, the training were taking place then. See, the training was not taking place then. The training had taken place long before. Many of us, or a lot of us here at the conference, have been in the armed forces. And we know a little something about the tremendous amount of training that goes into boot camp and to this time before actually a soldier is ever exposed to the enemy. And that's the point that I want to make. One side is the race that we're running. The other side is that there's an enemy of your soul. There's one that's real unhappy that you've trusted Christ. He can't do anything about that. But you know the next thing that he attacks your testimony and my life for the Lord as I'm living it here. Now, I think it's important, and I'll close with this, that we don't skip over real quickly this tremendous matter that the Spirit of God has been given to the believer to enable us. You see, He is our power. He is our strength for the pathway that we're on. What is some of the distinguishing marks of the Spirit of God? Well, one of them is that you are His property. What a wonderful thing that you are marked out as belonging to Him, that He says, I have redeemed her. I have paid the price for her redemption. I have paid the price for His redemption. I've bought them back from that slave market, and they are now mine in this wicked, evil world. What a wonderful thing. And that we go forward recognizing that the Holy Ghost has been shed abroad, He says, in our hearts. Go ahead.
And we are also reminded from 1 Corinthians 10:13, that you will never be tempted more than you're able to bear. So unlike the coach, Sam, which could push you a little too far, the Lord's not going to push you too far. No matter whatever comes your way, you will be able to, through the strength of the Holy Spirit, as Chuck was just pointing out, you will be able to bear it.
I have two things to say. First of all, sorry about that. Young sisters, please pass your questions to young brothers because we can all really learn from them. A young sister just passed me this question. How do you really know if you're glorying in tribulation?